हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 30। न यस्य कश्चातितर्ति मायां यया जनो मुह्यति वेदनार्थम् तं निर्जितात्मात्मगुणां परेशम् न मामभूतेषु समं चरन्तम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: No one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, illusory energy, Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed towards all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto Him. Purport: The prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, certainly controls all living entities. So much so that the living entities have forgotten the aim of life. Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi vishnum. The living entities have forgotten that the aim of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. The external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all conditioned souls what appears to be an opportunity to be happy within this material world, but that is Maya. In other words, it is a dream that is never to be fulfilled. Thus, every living being is illusioned by the external energy of the Supreme Lord. That illusory energy is undoubtedly very strong, but she is fully under the control of the transcendental person, who is described in this verse as Paresham, the transcendental Lord. The Lord is not a part of this material creation, but is beyond the creation. Therefore, not only does He control the conditioned souls through His external energy, but He also controls the external energy itself. Bhagavad Gita clearly says that the strong material energy controls everyone, and that getting out of her control is extremely difficult. That controlling energy belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and works under His control. The living entities, however, being subdued by the material energy, have forgotten the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation again. No one can overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy Maya, which is so strong that it bewilders everyone, making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That same Maya, however, is subdued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules everyone and who is equally disposed towards all living entities. Let us offer our obeisances unto Him. In this translation and purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining three qualities of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maya, and then three qualities of that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The first quality he explains is that no one can overcome this external energy, Maya. Why? Because it is so strong that it bewilders everyone. Down from the ant, right up to Lord Brahma. There was one devotee one time who was revealing his heart to a senior devotee. And somehow I was there. So he was telling, Prabhuji, my heart is disturbed by so much lust. There's so much anxiety in my mind. I'm practicing devotional service, but still my heart is so disturbed. So just to give pacification to this devotee, he said, what to speak of you, right from the ant up to Lord Brahma, everyone in this universe is affected by the power of Maya, specifically in the form of lust. There are only two personalities in this entire material universe who are not affected by lusty material desires. Excuse me. Who are they? Nar and Narayan rishis. That's it. The third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains, everyone else is attacked time and again by these materialistic desires. Sometimes it feels good. I'm not the only one. It's a psychological release of a pressure. Otherwise, you know, am I the only one? Unity is strength, they say, no? Even in this situation, you feel good, okay? In fact, Srila Prabhupada did that to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. One time, this is there in the Lilamrit, in the fourth volume, when His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to Prabhupada and said, that Prabhupada, I have given up my wife, and now I have taken sannyas. But when there are so many anxieties of management, when there are so many activities happening, my mind becomes tired and it's difficult to fight Maya. At that time, sometimes I remember my wife, my ex-wife. Prabhupada said, sometimes it happens to me too. Now you may feel, oh, Prabhupada is also affected. No, Prabhupada is not affected. How do we know? We see his lifestyle. Like one time there was this personality in Australia who is a professor. He was challenging Prabhupada. Why should one take sannyas? Why can't just be one a part of this world and still preach Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada was giving him so many examples and ideas that I have given up one family, but Krishna has given me such a huge family. And in the spiritual world, the second reason he gave was that there is no such thing as seclusion or renunciation. The spiritual world is a family experience. There's Krishna, the Krishna's devotees, and we're all part of Krishna's family. But this person was hitting the point. Why you have taken sannyas? Why should you renounce? So then Prabhupada said, for the preaching movement, it is important that one takes sannyas. It's a part of the Varnashram Dharma. So this person was still not convinced. You can be in this world and you can preach. And then suddenly the phone rang. And the devotees came and said that it is your phone. So this person, he said, Prabhupada, I would love to discuss with you more philosophy, but I urgently have to go. Prabhupada said, what happened? He said, my wife has called. Prabhupada said, just see. Just see. If this would have happened with me, then how would I have been able to preach? So then he gave him a practical example and experience, and this person left. What was the point I was making? I'm lost somewhere. Yeah, we were discussing about lust, but everyone in this universe is affected by material desires except for Nar and Narayan rishis. So in this verse, Maya is described as no one being able to overcome it. Why? Because she's so strong that she bewilders everyone. And how does she bewilder everyone? Making one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. That means she makes everyone work hard and progress very fast, but in the wrong direction. Because the aim of life is lost and one is finding it in the wrong places. And then three qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mentioned. Number one, however, this Maya is subdued by the Supreme Lord, number one. Number two, who rules everyone else. And number three, who is equally disposed towards all living entities. Now, who is speaking this verse? This verse has been spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers that he is offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. How does this entire episode begin? The story is that Durvas Muni, one time out of his affection for Lord Indra, offers a garland to him. And Indra, when he is on his carrier, Airavat, the elephant, he just doesn't understand the importance of this mercy that's coming towards him in the form of this garland. And he gives that garland to Airavat, who's an animal, and Airavat crushes it. So he's actually offending Durvas Muni. Now, because of this offense that Indra committed, all the demigods lose their power and they're defeated by the demons. The question arises is that Indra, being such a great devotee of the Lord, the king of the demigods, why did he disrespect Durvas Muni? Why did he commit this offense? It is because Indra was accustomed to being in control. Indra was conditioned to the fact that everything should go my way. Now that is how Maya bewilders the conditioned living entity. That everything should go my way. What's the problem? If I'm working hard in this world, if I have the desire that things should go my way, what's the problem? The problem is that this kind of philosophy or understanding disregards the existence of God. Because God has His way. So, intelligence means to know, yes, I desire my way, but what will happen is God's way. And therefore, sometimes God shakes us up a little bit so that we come out of our complacency and understand that His way is the best way for us. And therefore, Indra was a little bit shaken up by Krishna, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by taking His powers and being defeated by the demons because he had offended Durvas Muni. And the mentality behind this offense was that he wanted everything to go his way and being in control. Yesterday we were discussing with one devotee that, one time there was a man who was walking on a bridge. This devotee was wondering why difficulties come in our life. Now, it's a serious challenge. For 11 years there is a sickness in the family. It's not easy. 11 minutes we get a headache, we become bewildered. We pray to Krishna, why do I have a head? As soon as the headache is gone, thank you. We're very happy with our head. We can look in the mirror, see how beautiful we are. But when we have pain, it's very difficult to tolerate it. So, 11 years of continuous horrible sickness. Lot of other anxieties. Can we see that situation as a blessing? Is it possible? Very difficult. However, when we see the Lord's hand in it, then we can see those situations as blessings. Literally blessings. So we were discussing that this man was walking on a bridge. And the bridge started shaking. Violently. He was not drunk or he was not in some hallucination or in some ecstasy. The bridge was actually shaking. So this man called out to God, 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 please help me. And at the distance, at the other end of the bridge, he saw God standing there. So he said, God, God, come, help me, help me. And God is just standing there and smiling at him. So this man became furious. He said, you're not even empathizing with my problem. What to speak of coming? Imagine if someone's crying tears at you and saying, I'm suffering. And you give them your 32 teeth smile. Big, huge one. The person will feel offended. So somehow or the other, this person with great endeavor, holding on to the bridge, crawling, comes to the other end. Just as he steps out, he sees behind him, the bridge falls down, collapses. And he looks towards God and says, God, could you not help me? Could you not come to my rescue? With a sincere heart, I was calling out to you. God said, my dear child, I was holding the bridge from this side. If I would have come to help you, then the bridge would have fallen much before than it actually did. Now please think a little carefully. If God would have gone His way, would it have been a blessing or would it have been a curse for Him? Would He have thanked God for coming when the bridge would have fallen much before and He would have fallen with the bridge? So many times we think that if things go my way, then that's the blessing of the Lord. The Lord has heard my prayers. Are you getting? And if we think that things go other than my way, then God doesn't hear. Shyamanandrabhu answered very nicely. He said, God always hears your prayers. He always hears our prayers. And He always answers our prayers. So people may say, come on. Somebody had a cancer in the hospital. I prayed to God and the person still died. Did God hear my prayers? Yes. Did God answer my prayers? Yes. God said, no, I will not save that person. Did He answer it? Yes, He answered it. But He knows better what is to really save the person. So, to help Indra, to bless Indra, Lord took away his powers, took away his opulences, and allowed his bridge to shake. His security, his strength, his talents, they all shook. And when our foundation shakes, then we start really thinking and we start calling out to God. And then when one is a devotee of the Lord, Lord protects that person just like the Lord protected Indra. Now what was the protection that the Lord gave to Indra? He gave him the intelligence to surrender to a higher authority. This is the protection of the Lord. So Indra and all the demigods, they went to Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma took them to Lord Vishnu. And these are the prayers that we are hearing that Lord Brahma is offering to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the Lord's mercy is not there in a person's life, then the same suffering situation, instead of that person surrendering to a higher authority, that person takes shelter of lower conditioned natures. It takes shelter of all the past experiences of sense gratification the person has had. At least that gave me pleasure. Many times devotees also feel, I'm struggling so hard, I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, but I'm not getting the same taste, the same juice that I would get in material life. Those late nights that I would spend with my friends, that independence that I had to go for any movie that I liked, the varieties of dishes that I would eat in the varieties of hotels that I could go. Now my life is ruined. Every time I come to temple, I only see two colors, either white or saffron. I see only two type of hairstyles, either crew cut or zero cut. What friendship, what variety. And the only food in the hotel I can eat is Govinda's. But the fact is that if one needs to change, that means you're not satisfied in what you have. If you're satisfied with what you have, then why do you need to change? So the fact that devotees are satisfied with what they have means that they don't need to change to get pleasures in this material world, which in this verse, Prabhupada is clearly explaining. It's a dream that is never to be fulfilled. Simply a dream. Still, why does material life look so easy? Previously, it was so easy to do our activities. But now in Krishna consciousness, the sadhana of devotional service, we find it so difficult to perform. Well, factually, Krishna consciousness is much easier to perform than material life. Just like His Holiness Giriraj Swami told many years back, He said, material life and spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. So although Krishna consciousness may be difficult, compared to material life, it's definitely easier. Because there is taste at every step. And in material life, there's only a dream. There's no taste and there's no fulfillment also. Still, why does material life feel so easy? There is a reason. It's because we are habituated to our conditioned nature. It's just habits. We're conditioned to it. Like our Madan Gopal Prabhu the other day told us such a nice story. He said there was this guru who wanted to teach a lesson to his disciple. So he gave his disciple a basket. And he said that, please go and fill some water in this basket. So when he went to the river and he tried to fill some water, he saw that because it was a cane basket, the water simply seeped out of the holes of that basket. Can we have this fan, please? So the water simply seeped out of the holes. And again and again, this disciple was trying. But because he was so determined, throughout the day, he kept trying to fill the water, to fill the water, to fill the water. And every time he would try to fill the water would seep out of the holes. By evening, what did he realize? By evening, he realized that because this bamboo, this cane, it kept remaining in touch with water, gradually it swelled. And because it swelled, all the holes in that basket were covered. And it became strong enough to hold the water, and this disciple brought it back to the guru. Our heart is like this basket, he explained. The water is compared to the process of devotional service, sadhana bhakti. The guru has given instruction that dip your heart in this process of sadhana bhakti. So every time we dip our heart, because there are so many holes, there is lust, there is pride, there is greed, there is anger, there is illusion, and there are so many of their friends also. It's a big army. So all these holes, they just seep out the water of bhakti. But if you keep practicing, then gradually all these holes will become filled. Simply by the mercy of the process, simply by being in connection with the process. And when all these holes are filled, then the basket of our heart will be able to hold the mercy of the Lord. Then we'll be able to experience Krishna consciousness in its fullest extent. That reminds me of another story of a basket. One time, there was a grandfather and a grandchild living next to a river. Now, of course, one may ask a question that we are expected to continue performing the process of devotional service. We have to put the basket of our heart in the water of devotional service, and gradually our baskets will become strong. Our hearts will become strong. But the problem is, sometimes we put our basket in the water and then sometimes we allow the basket to dry in the sun. That means we perform devotional service when we are in the association of devotees, and then when we go out of the association, then in the hot sun of this material world, the basket becomes hard and dry. Then again we bring the basket in this ocean of devotional service. Again it becomes wet and it starts swelling. It starts becoming stronger. Again, we take it out. And again, we warm it up. So somebody may ask that I come to the association of devotees, I hear Krishna consciousness, but I forget. As soon as the Bhagavatam class is over, when I walk out of the door, and if somebody asks me, what happened? Something happened. 3-4 times my eyes went down. After some time, they came up also. But I don't exactly remember what happened. Many of us have this experience. By the time we finish one purport of the Bhagavatam, start the second purport, reading, we forget what was in the first purport. So somebody may ask a question, I don't remember what I'm hearing. I don't remember what I'm reading. So then what is the use of again and again putting the basket in the water? So there was this grandfather and this grandchild living at the bank of a river. And there, you know, children, they always like to imitate the elders. So the grandfather, first thing in the morning, he would always open his Bhagavad Gita and he would read. So this child would also open and he would also read Bhagavad Gita. So after a few days, the child complained to the grandfather, saying, I don't understand anything in this Bhagavad Gita. I just read the words, but I don't understand anything. Why do you keep reading the Bhagavad Gita? What's there in it? So the grandfather decided to teach him a lesson. The grandfather gave him a basket with a coal basket. He removed all the coal pieces and he gave the coal basket to the child. And he said, my dear child, go and get me some water from this coal basket, from the river. So this child ran to the river. He loved his grandfather. He filled the coal basket. And as usual, because it was made up of cane, so all the water seeped out. By the time he reached the house, there was no water in it. So the grandfather said, where is the water? I wanted you to get water. He said, Grandpa, I'll take another vessel, a steel vessel, and I will fill water in it and bring. He said, no, I want water in this very basket. So again he went, again he filled. By the time he came, the water was gone. Four times, five times. Now this time, the child was very sure that he wanted to please his grandfather. So he ran to the river, put the basket in the water, and decided to run back so fast that there would be some water left. So he sprinted with full speed back into the house. But lo and behold, just before he reached, what happened? There was not a single drop of water in the basket. And said, Grandfather, nothing happened. There's not even a drop of water in this. The grandfather said, but look at the basket. Something has happened to the basket. What happened? And when he looked, he realized that the basket was shining clean. All the coal that was attached to the basket initially, all the black marks and pieces were all cleansed. So similarly, when we dip our baskets in the water of devotional service, when we dip our hearts in the ocean of devotional service, we may not remember everything that's happening. All the drops may be seeping away. But just by being in contact, we are being cleansed from within, inside out. All these impressions of Maya in our hearts are being cleansed just by being in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotional service. So there is this powerful realization that every devotee should carry in their hearts. What is that? That there is no problem for a devotee. There are only opportunities to learn lessons and to grow. This is a very powerful realization that every devotee must achieve. There are no problems in the life of a devotee. Say, I have so many problems. No, there are no problems. There are only opportunities to grow in devotional service, number one, and to learn lessons based on the mistakes that we may have made. Because if we are in problem consciousness, then we cannot see the hand of the Lord. But if we are in opportunity consciousness, how Krishna is dragging me from my way to His way. It's an opportunity for me to see Krishna's hand, to learn the lesson that Krishna wants to teach me, and to grow in devotional service. So I repeat again, there are no problems in the life of a devotee. There are only opportunities to grow. But someone may say, we still see devotees falling down. At least myself, from time to time I fall down. There are so many difficulties in the lives of devotees. So how can we say with such conviction that there are no problems? Based on this beautiful verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth chapter, proves that there are no problems in the life of a devotee. Na vai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen mukunda sevyan vayadanga samsmritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatu micche narasagraho janaha. In this beautiful verse, it is explained that a devotee has no difficulties. Even if a devotee falls down, slips, and misses the path, like it is explained in this verse, that Maya makes one lose the sense to understand the aim of life. For whatever reason, if a devotee misses the aim of life for some time, slips and falls, still a devotee does not suffer just like a materialistic person. Na vai jano jatu kathanchana vrajen. Why does a devotee not suffer like the materialistic person? Because mukunda sevyan yavadanga samsmritim. Samsmritim, that devotee will remember the past drops of ecstasies the devotee has experienced while serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Mukunda sevyan yavad. Whatever seva he did in service to Mukunda, anga samsmritim, that devotee is always remembering that impression of ecstasy, the joys that the devotee experienced when the devotee was performing devotional service in the association. Every personality who has performed some devotional service in the association of devotees must experience some drops of nectar. And those drops of nectar are the fuel which inspire us to get more drops of nectar. And those more drops of nectar create more fuel to inspire the devotee to get even more drops of nectar. And this is the way the car of the devotee's devotional life moves ahead. One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk. And he asked a question to all the devotees who were walking with him. He said, why do we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So many devotees gave many answers. Because Krishna is the leader of all the demigods. Because Krishna is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Because one devotee said, we experience so much joy in service to Krishna. And so many answers devotees were given. Srila Prabhupada said, no. We believe, we accept Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Our faith is based on the scripture. So because Bhagavad Gita mentions Krishna to be God, so we accept Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, now many weeks have passed. Actually, many months have passed. This was, if I'm not wrong, in Paris. And then now there's a morning walk happening at Juhu Beach. Prabhupada is in Bombay. And Prabhupada is on a morning walk. And he raises the same question. Why do we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And many devotees are giving many answers. But there was one devotee from that morning walk in Paris, who on this morning walk also. So he was just walking and letting devotees give the answers, just seeing the fun. And Prabhupada would say, no, no. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, because it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. And this devotee was feeling very... this devotee said, Prabhupada, because it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada looked back and said, no. The devotee said, are, this few months back you said it, you know. Prabhupada said, because we feel the ecstasy in serving Krishna. So is it contradictory? No. The answer, the fact is that both of them are true. We philosophically accept Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because through logic and reasoning we can understand and the scriptures explain. But we also accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead not just theoretically because the scriptures explain. Because we actually feel the drops of nectar. We experience the bliss in serving Krishna. That's why we are convinced that this ecstasy that we feel in his devotional service is not material. There's nothing in the 14 planetary systems that can give us this experience of pure devotional service. The joy in the heart. So a devotee, even if he or she falls down from the process, from the path, slips away, still by remembering these moments of ecstasy, they do not experience the material world just like ordinary materialistic people experience. Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar. Smaran Mukundangri, remembering. Samsmritim, they do not experience the harsh realities of the material world. So the point we are trying to make is there are no problems in the life of a devotee. Even if to the point that a devotee falls, still Krishna in the heart will give him remembrances of the devotional ecstasies that he had, and he will not suffer like the materialistic persons. Smaran Mukundangri, Upakuhanam Punar, again and again and again he experiences that ecstasy. Viha tumiche na rasagraho janaha. Because he is a rasagraha. He has a griha, is a house, a storehouse, because he has stored the ecstasies that he experienced in devotional service. So one may feel very happy after Bhagavatam class today. Very good. There are no problems in my life. Even if I fall down, there are no problems. Bhagavatam is explaining that. I am not going to experience the sufferings of the material world because Krishna has kept going. Is going to again and again giving me ecstasies. So why endeavor so hard? Why take the trouble? Well, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains why we should still remain loyal and chaste. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the suffering of an orphan and the suffering of a rich man's child are different. Now, both may undergo some pain, some disease, some difficulty. But the suffering of the orphan is without any shelter, without any security. The suffering of the rich man's son has so much shelter and security around him. The rich man will give him the best of medicines, the best of affection, the best of support systems. So both are suffering. Their suffering is the same, but their experience is different. Because one has no shelter, security. The other has a lot of shelter and security. The rich man's son. So, a devotee of the Lord is like the rich man's son. And a non-devotee is like an orphan. Both may go through some material suffering. But a devotee experiences the shelter and the security of the Lord in his heart. Then Srila Prabhupada further goes on to explain in the purport that if one thinks that, okay, whatever I've done, that's good enough, because there are no problems in my life that are going to come. Then wait a minute. If somebody misuses the philosophy, like our Gaurang Prabhu explains, that this process of bhakti is so wonderful, that even if you fail, the failures in this bhakti get promoted to the heavenly planets. Is there any course like that in this material world? That if you fail, you get a free holiday to Switzerland for 6 months. The 4-year engineering program. Third year, he's given a certificate. 6 months free paid holiday to Switzerland, Jungfrau region. Go and enjoy. Why? What is the qualification for getting this prize? Because you're a failure. You failed in the third year of engineering. No, you don't get something like that. In fact, till you pass the last hurdle in material life, the whole endeavor is zero. But in spiritual life, even if you endeavor a little bit, even if you fail, the benefit is 10,000 years of enjoyment in heaven. What to speak of if one passes, then one goes to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, never to return in this material world. But the fact is, excuse me, the fact is that when one goes to the heavenly planets and one comes back, Bhagavad Gita explains, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yogo Brashto Bijayate. One is born in the family of rich men or the family of great brahmanas. Shuchinam, those who are very clean. Srimatam, rich people. So one may say, great, no problems. Even if I fail, go to heaven, come back as a rich man's son, daughter, or come back in a very advanced spiritual family. Spiritual life goes on. What's the problem? Prabhupada says in the purport that for his devotee, Krishna gives special mercy. Krishna hammers such a devotee, takes away all his material opulences and shakes the security of that devotee in this material world. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Shri Gopal ji Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra ki jai. So either a devotee continues to practice devotional service regularly, or even if there is a problem, Krishna arranges to shake the security of that devotee in this material world so that the devotee takes Krishna's mercy seriously and surrenders to a higher authority. So when there are problems in our life, we know there are no problems. There are simply opportunities to come more closer to Krishna and his devotees. Now this whole game is a game of impressions. The game between Maya pulling us and Krishna pulling us. In this verse, Lord Brahma is explaining that the power of Maya is so strong that it makes us forget the aim of life. But the power of Krishna is stronger, who can surpass Maya and can help us go back to Godhead. This whole game is a game of impressions. Whether the impressions of Maya are stronger in our mind, or whether the impressions of Krishna are stronger in our mind. How do these impressions enter us? Impressions enter us through the gate of the heart. Only when the gates of the heart are open, can the impressions enter. There are two ways in which impressions enter our heart. Number one, when the gates of our hearts are open and we allow the impressions to come in. And number two, when we work very hard to get those impressions. That's why His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained that preaching begins after the lecture is over. Of course, one way to understand it is that Prasad preaches to us. After the lecture is over, our heart is open for Prasad. So those impressions go in very deeply. That is a fact. What it also means is that when we care for devotees, when we show concern for devotees, it is then when these information enters the heart and becomes realization. It will inspire the devotee to practice Krishna consciousness. Practice what the devotee hears. As long as the heart is closed, like they say, I cannot hear, I do not care what you know till I know that you care. So it's only by the care that when the heart is open, that the information of Krishna consciousness goes in through the gates of the heart. That's why Bhagavad Gita explains, Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam, Yasyam Jagriti Samyami. When a devotee is awake, non-devotee is sleeping. When a non-devotee is awake, devotee is sleeping. What does it mean? It means the opening and the closing of the heart. As soon as there is glorification of the Lord, the devotee's heart opens. He's awake to that reality. He's very eager to hear and allows the impressions to enter. When there is some cricket commentary, at that time, a devotee goes off to sleep. Now most of us are in between. When the glorification of the Lord is taking place, at that time we are wondering, is my glorification taking place? No, I'm not interested. So then sometimes, after some time, we lose interest. And as they say, a sure shot cure of insomnia. Which mantra? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. People become very relaxed. That now is the time when we can just cool off. The gates, our gates are half closed. We're not sure when to open, when to close. The holy name, one devotee explained, is like a mind eraser. These impressions that we have been collecting for a long time will be erased when we struggle to chant the holy names of the Lord, and more importantly, when we struggle to hear. Just like, if anybody has an experience of exercising, after we exercise, the proof that you exercised correctly is you should feel refreshed. A novice to exercising, somebody who is new, will feel fatigued and exhausted. Those who are expert at exercising, they know that when they just exercise perfectly enough, there's a burst of energy within. Like when you do some yoga, when you stretch yourself a little, then there's a joy that comes from within of stretching out, of giving up the tensions within the body. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna and we hear the sound vibration, when we struggle against the conditionings of the mind to hear, at that time, that struggling effort is like an exercise for the mind. And therefore, the mind becomes refreshed and rejuvenated when one hears the holy names. Struggles against the mind's conditioning. And with a prayerful heart, raising one's hand, hearing the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The holy name acts like this mind eraser to remove the impressions. And the second reason why impressions enter inside is when we work very hard. At that time, the heart also opens up. Like we know the story of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Bilwa Mangal Thakur, in his past life, was a great Brahmana. He was also a devotee of the Lord. But it is explained that he had a lot of pride in his heart. So, because of this pride that he had, he always wanted to show himself as great. So what Bilwa Mangal Thakur would do in his previous life as that Brahmana, he would call many, many Brahmins for Brahma Bhojan. He would feed them. And when all the Brahmins would eat a lot of prasad, they would give him blessings and they would talk. Just see how charitable and how nice this Bilwa Mangal Thakur in his previous life as a Brahmana is. This addiction to getting praise from others was so strong in his heart that somehow or the other, by begging, borrowing or stealing, he wanted to get money to call these Brahmanas home for food. Very strong addiction in the heart. So he started stealing. Now one day, the king's daughter had died. So Bilwa Mangal had gone for this ceremony where he saw that there was a lot of gold which was put into the coffin, because this king's daughter was also a very great devotee. So she was not just burnt off, she was put into this coffin, and there was a lot of gold and ornaments, and there was a lot of beautiful things that were kept there along with, you know, saris and silks in the coffin and buried. So Bilwa Mangal got this sinful thought in his mind. He said, I need this money somehow that I want to call all these Brahmanas, feed them and get this appreciation from them to feed my false ego. So he started one night digging that grave. And just when he was about to open that grave, he heard the voice of the princess. She said, please, please do not insult me like this. Don't touch my body. I have been completely pure and chaste throughout my life. Bilwa Mangal said, but I don't want you. I want the gold. I want the jewels, the ornaments from there. So she said, okay, you want the gold, I'll satisfy your desires. The bed where I would sleep every night in the palace, just below that bed, within that ground, there is a lot of treasure that is buried, hidden. So you go to the king and you tell the king that I came in your dream and told you that there is a lot of treasure, and the king should give that treasure to you. Because he loves me so much, just the thought of me coming in your dreams will inspire the king to give you the treasure. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur, in his previous life as the Brahmana, goes to the king, gets the land, the ground under the bed dug, gets all the treasure, again invites all the Brahmanas, again has a huge feast, and everyone's appreciating him. Just see how charitable he is. So externally one may be charitable, giving up, but internally one may be feasting on one's false ego. So Krishna doesn't just see what you give him, he also sees the mood and the intention in which we are giving him. So his addiction is increasing. Now again he wanted to call all those Brahmanas.
So this time again he dug up the grave. And the princess said, please, please do not touch me. You will pollute me. However, Bilwa Mangal did not hear anything. He opened that grave, stole all those jewels, and just before he was about to leave, he heard the voice of that princess. He said, I curse you. She said, I curse you. Because you have violated my chastity and touched me, touched my body, therefore I curse you that I will be the cause of your destruction in your next life. And then immediately he came to his senses, because he was also a devotee. He paid obeisances to her, and says, of course, the body, and he begged forgiveness. So her heart melted and she spoke up again, saying that I will be the cause of your downfall, but I will be the cause of raising you up also. So then Bilwa Mangal goes over there, and then finally his life is over. Next lifetime he is born again as a son of a Brahmana, Bilwa Mangal Thakur. But somehow, because of bad association, he becomes attached to all the sinful activities. Smoking, drinking. This power of association is so strong that even if one has the right knowledge, simply because of some sentimental attachment, one degrades one life by taking up to all these sinful habits. Like Bilwa Mangal Thakur did. Smoking, drinking, meat eating, gambling, intoxication. So much so that he became attached to this prostitute Chintamani. Now it is the death day of his father. His father has died, and he's telling the fellow who has come to perform the rites, quickly, quickly finish these rites because I want to go and meet Chintamani. So this is not just happening in this modern era. Like we had this Lakshmi Puja yesterday, and we were invited to a few places, and we could see that the poor Brahmin, he is performing Lakshmi Puja, and there is that fire over there, and he is sweating like anything, and there are one or two people over there, and all the others are sitting in the office in the AC, and they are all drinking tea, coffee, joking and eating, and once in a while one fellow comes, pays his obeisances, and this Brahmin is calling, abhi usko bulao, abhi usko bulao, usko bulao. So they are like, finish it fast now, you know, just get over with it. So this is not just happening in Kali Yuga now, this is happening so many years back when Bilwa Mangal Thakur was there. Because their heart is not in worshipping Narayan, where Lakshmi is. Their heart is simply in exploiting Lakshmi and wanting her to come as far as fast as possible. Anyway, coming back to our own story. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur is telling him, finish it fast, finish it fast. Now on one hand, it is his father's death ceremony, Antim Samskar. And on the other hand, there is a huge storm. It's raining like anything. Still, Bilwa Mangal Thakur comes out in that storm and is desperate to meet Chintamani, who lives on the other side of the river. Somehow or the other, he stumbles, reaches the river, looks for a boatman. No boatman in sight. The desperation and the eagerness of his heart is so much that he jumps into the water. On a rainy, stormy day, jumping into the water of a flowing river, it's a sure shot recipe for death. Fortunately, Bilwa Mangal finds a log, something that resembles like a log, holds on to it and somehow reaches the other side. Who was that log? What was that log? That log was his own wife. His wife ran behind him to search for him and calling back home. But she slipped into the river and died. And you know, a dead body floats. So Bilwa Mangal used his own wife's body, dead body, to transport himself across the river. Can you imagine the state of his desperation? And then somehow or the other he reaches the house of Chintamani and he finds the door closed because it's a stormy day. He sees that the light on the first floor is open. So he climbs a tree. How? By holding on to certain vines that are coming down. When he reaches up, he realizes that those vines are basically snakes. Poisonous snakes that he held on to while going up. And then not only that, he jumps into her house to the window pane. He breaks all the glass windows and he's full of blood. Such a bad shape that Chintamani shouts, Who is this horrible person? Is this a ghost?
And he says, no, no, I am Bilwa Mangal. I have come to associate with you. When she sees him in this condition, she speaks some strong words.
She says, if this kind of determination you would have shown to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, you would have easily achieved him by now.
His heart was wide open at this time.
So because he had worked so hard to achieve his goal, when he worked so hard, his heart was open. And therefore the words of Chintamani went straight into his heart. Immediately he gave up his materialistic lifestyle, started going towards Vrindavan. And then he became a great devotee.
So the idea is, when we work very hard in devotional service, fighting our mind's conditioning to hear the holy names, fighting it again and again and again and again, then our hearts will open, so that these impressions will go deeper into our hearts, and then we'll experience those drops of ecstasy, which will be the fuel by which we'll be able to please Krishna, achieve Krishna. That is why His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, yesterday in Mayapur, he was explaining in his class, that what is this diya which we are offering every day? The ghee that we are offering in the diya is the chanting of the holy names and the association of devotees. So the ghee is compared to the chanting and the association. The fire in the diya is compared to our devotion. And when we offer this fire of the diya to the Lord, what do we hope to achieve? We hope to achieve the smile of Krishna, the pleasure of Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, then automatically we, being a part and parcel of the Lord, we will become pleased. Then we'll get the higher taste to go against these conditionings, these impressions of Maya, surpass her and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So this whole game is a game of impressions. And how can we get spiritual impressions, even material impressions? When our heart is open and when we work hard to achieve them. So we need to open our hearts in the association of devotees. When devotees care for us, have affection for us, then we open our hearts and the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam enter our heart. Then those spiritual impressions give us the nectar to continue practicing Krishna consciousness. Then we'll get the realization that there are no problems in my life. There are only opportunities to learn and to grow. That's the blessing and the mercy that's available. Let us welcome those blessings and mercy with an open heart. Embrace them and perfect our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nitai God Pramanandi Hari Hari Bol. We have some time, so maybe we'll take one question if there is, or we'll stop here. Is there any questions? Okay, we'll stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaved Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.